All right, dear Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us and that we don't have to meet together and worship you collectively in a hidden meeting or some cave somewhere. Jesus, I thank you that we have the right to be able to show you to others without being persecuted in this state, in this country, Jesus. And I thank you for today. Thank you as my dad brings the word. I pray that it would come exactly how you intended it to come. I pray that you would speak through him and he'd be a vessel. And Jesus, I pray. Amen. And then you, just that verse. Or, no, maybe a whole chapter, right? All right. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them, they said.
Thank you. Take this little nugget with you.
Hi, baby.
Yeah, Papa loves you. Yes. Thank you. Daddy did good. Welcome back to the mega series. Pastor Justin left off in chapter 10, episode 10, season 1, of Acts of the Apostles. This is chapter 11. Ever heard the chapter 11 before? Ever heard the term chapter 11? If you're involved with finances, it means bankruptcy. When you declare chapter 11, you declare bankruptcy. Bankruptcy. The end of things, the loss of self and self-opinion is what I want to talk about. This chapter is about bankruptcy. Sometimes our opinion, we should be bankrupt of our opinion. Like if it comes between my opinion and God's opinion, I should always choose God's opinion, whether I like that opinion or not. I need to be bankrupt. When I was baptized, I was dead to myself, right? But I have a hard time losing my opinion. Anybody else? Like, Pastor, why are you back so early? Acts 11, 1 through 3. Soon the news reached the apostles. Acts 11, 1 through 3. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea. I'm slow rolling through here, so your fingers get, you'll get rest. Just be good. So why? What news? Alejandro, where are you? What news? What are they all gacked up about? What is this news that reached the apostles? He's like, Pastor, I just got water. Don't you just call me out. I'm getting married soon. I can't remember my own name half the time. I'm just, get off my back, Pastor. You just got back in town. The news is that the Gentiles had received the word of God. Look at your neighbor and go, phew. That's mind-blowing. That was like, what? The Gentiles? We were God's chosen people, and he showed up where? The Gentiles received the word of God. And I remember Pastor Justin had this conversation. He goes, I don't know how you're going to preach chapter 11. I said, yeah, me either. He goes, because it's kind of like a summary of chapter 10. So I thought this. I go, well, I'll just squeeze it, you know, and then we'll go. And I felt like God said to me, I didn't squeeze it. Don't squeeze what I didn't squeeze. Yes, sir. Here we go. So I was reading over this, and I said, the news that the Gentiles received the word of God, that's exciting. That's awesome, right? Thank gosh. Any Gentiles in here, if you weren't born into a Jewish home, then you're a Gentile. Thank God, right? The Gentiles received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. The Jewish believers criticized him. Wow. No way. Churches aren't critical. Never. The early church had a problem, apparently. And I thought this just had to be, you know, I'm just filtering it. If I were Peter, so forgive me if I take liberties, but I'd be like, come on, man, I just got back. Like, Pastor, where'd you get that vest, man? Those buttons are like 1942. Come on, man. I got a Goodwill up in Pine Top. Cost me $6. Come on. You know, just got back. Get off my vest, man. He got back, and he got back with great results. It wasn't like, man, Peter collapsed the building. People died. No. Can you believe that these believers, they sound a lot like Pharisees and Sadducees? Say those ones. Those ones do. When Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. Here's three great side notes, especially if you're part of the NSBI class. Here's some bonus side notes. You ready for them? I told you I'm slow rolling through this chapter. Ready. Side note number one. If you're prone to criticize, stop it. Everyone say stop it. Be honest. Does anyone fit that profile? You don't got to raise your hand. When people say, well, yeah, you're critical. Kind of like, you know, see her something good, like, probably AI. Hell, he got up and ran around. She probably had to beat him 12 shot or something. I don't know what happened. Couldn't have been the Holy Spirit. I don't know. How about this? Do you know anyone who's kind of prone to criticize? No point, Sean Zia. People will be going, that's Cody, dude. I don't do that to him. No, man. Any one of us is prone to criticize. And it's time we pray for the Holy Spirit to help us stop it. It's time to pray, Holy Spirit, help me stop it. If you're critical, you have a tendency to be critical right away, and you jump in, you start shredding to be fresh before you know everything, you start jumping on it, stop it. Number two point, if we're prone to criticize before we even know the whole story, we should stop it. You guys are getting it. This is the answer. It's going to be good. You guys are so smart. Number three, if we are prone to criticize other proven leaders, other proven brothers, other proven sisters, before we've even asked God what he thinks, stop it. Hallie, she's flowing today. Lots of times, right? Before we even ask God, we've made an opinion. Stop it. Stop it. It's nice to have you back, Pastor. When Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. Now, of course, Peter's not perfect. Say only Jesus, right? He's not perfect, but maybe, honestly, we should applaud him for what he has done for God. And at least I think Peter earned the benefit of the doubt. Before he walked in the room and they're all torqued and upset and judgy, I think Peter earned the right not to have everybody jump down his throat. Anybody? I mean, I think, how often, man, I see that guy, I'm light up, Andrew. I'll tell him, hey, he took my person in the draft. You don't even know. The critic said, The critic said, you can go to the next verse, I think. No, it's not on there. Verse 3 said this. The critic said, you entered the home of the Gentiles. If you go back to verse 3, it should be on that one. But you entered the home of the Gentiles. You know what that did? That made them angry. I could picture, I got emojis, and I was going to put them up, but I didn't. I came back, and I don't want to give too much work to the media team right away. But, you know, I have an emoji of, like, this is how they felt, angry. And then there was, like, you went to the Gentiles. I can't wait to tell my neighbor. You went to the Gentiles? You know, one of those sounds like, you went to the Gentiles, awkward. You know, you entered the home of the Gentiles, you went to the unclean heathen, and you even ate with them, they said. What? So I thought we'd role play a second. Just a bit. Let's put a little simulation to this scene. Into our current church. I'll use names in place of Peter. Pastor Justin, I heard you ate with a fallen believer. A guy who was serving God, he backslid, and man, he smells like stinky. And you invited him onto your fantasy hockey team? Are you crazy? Cody, you actually went to an... You actually went to an atheist house.
Yeah, and you are a good example.
At a Super Bowl party. Shocking. Well, let's go back to Acts and let's hear it again. Well, well, Peter, you're supposed to be a man of God. Peter, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be a proven disciple. Like, you're one of the OG 12. I mean, you should, come on, bro. But we are all upset and disappointed in you specifically. Ever been angry and critical about something or somebody without having the whole story? Have you ever in your life, I'm talking like before Jesus, you can pick that one out, been critical of somebody or something and you didn't have the whole story, but you just judged like, I didn't like him. He had the wooden buttons. He's very loud. He's cracking jokes. We don't do that in the sanctuary. I'm cracking jokes. Ever been angry or critical of somebody without knowing the whole story? Come on, we're the church. We got to be honest. Ever had someone be critical of you without knowing the whole story and you never got a chance to tell your side? And to this day, they're still judging you about something that's not you. And if they just come talk to you, it'd be right? And anybody, you can raise your hand at that one. I've been judged. Right? So that's no bueno. Right? That's no bueno. All right, now you can do Acts 11:4. Then Peter told them exactly what happened. Here's some practical helps. I got some more steps, some more little notes for NSBI students. Number one, ask God first before you give your little critical opinion of anything. I saw this tick. I saw this tick. Like, I heard president. I heard this. But I heard. Shh. Before you repeat it from your perspective, go try and get God's. You might have the same perspective. You might, but wouldn't it be great if we went God first? Okay. Oh, I even made a slide. Fantastic of me. Two, get the whole story. Say whole story. Man, if you just see a snippet, you just see a snippet of any given Sunday, of something I share, right? Just take a snippet. That pastor's angry. He was doing, look at him. There he is, snapped up on the internet. Angry pastor yells at everyone. Don't. News at 6, you know. Get the whole story, right? Number three, get the whole story from the source. Don't get it from Stinky or from TikTok or from neighbor, right? I heard it through a friend who I heard it through a friend. Don't do that. I heard it from a friend's source is often unreliable. Your algorithm is often unreliable. Google isn't as reliable as you think it is. Go to the source. 4. Have grace for the proven. Like, have grace for the proven. You got a brother that proved himself. You got a friend that proved himself. That's trust. They should earn a little something, right? Have grace. Man, people with great grace, especially have great grace when people have a proven track record. You know what I mean? If Dr. Heidi forgot the Lent, I'd be like, I can forgive her on that one. She's not Jesus, you know? It should be easiest for her to remember that there's only one Jesus, but we often forget it. Here's another little bitty side note. Just a bitty one. Let's try not to be so quick to suggest our opinion on other people's improvements until maybe we fully appreciate the hard work and sacrifice they've done to prove it. Peter, you know what you could have done, honestly. Hold on, man. The Gentiles just got saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you know what you could have done? How often are we that way? We want to be better, right? We want to be the church that's better at that, right? Just to be like Jesus. I'll shoot for being like Barnabas. Like, if you're like, I can't be like Jesus, it's too much. Be like Barnabas. Remember, he was episode 4, son of encouragement. Yeah, be a great encourager, right? All right. Then Peter told them exactly what happened, Acts 11:4-8. Peter, here's his little recap. I'll just kind of zip through this part. Then Peter told them exactly what happened. I was in the town of Joppa, he said, and while I was praying, I went into a trance, and I saw a vision, and something like a large sheet was let down by the corners of the sky. I mean, can you picture it? You know, it's like a Pink Floyd album. It just, sure it is. You know, I was up there having lunch and she came out of the sky and it was like, and they're looking at him like, go on. And when I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of tame and wild animals, reptiles and birds. And I heard a voice say, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," I replied. What? That's an oxymoron. He's Lord. And you can't say no if he's Lord. But I replied, "No, Lord." Anyone ever done that? So let's think here. "No, Lord" is a reflection. Why is he saying "No, Lord" here? Because it's quite a reflection on his image. He's very comfortable obeying the rules and the customs of Jewish culture. It's the fabric, maybe, of his importance. I'm Apostle Peter. I'm crushing it. Ever had an issue where you honestly said, "No, Lord," because how would it look if I did that? How would it look if I did that? "No, Lord, how would it look if I did that?" I'm not trying to justify some guy who said, "Well, God told me to go to Stinky's and get ripped." No, he didn't. He didn't say that. No, I'm talking, he said to go do something. You went, no, Lord, how would that look if I did? What would they say? What would they say if I said, you know, I wore my witness wear? What would they say? I'm not going to send that Christian TikTok to my atheist friend. What would they say? Man, if I waved at that person, they'll go, "Man, he just waved at Cody. I mean, what's he doing? Does he know Cody's ostracized?" What would they say? Cody's not ostracized. He's just kidding, Cody. I take it all back. But Lord, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean. The point here is God showed up. He said things. And God proved himself again. And Peter stuck with that. God said this. And he proved it. What do you want me to do about that? It caused Peter to see God's perspective. Because before God gave him a different perspective, he had a perspective of the Gentiles somewhere between angry and, right? And God said, "No, I love them." And then he showed him in his word where he loved them. And he showed him in his word how he was going to pour out his spirit. And he said, "Now today's that very day. Go be obedient." God's perspective is always the best angle to see it from. See it from God's perspective. Acts 11, 9 through 12. But the voice from heaven spoke again. "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." This happened three times, he's telling them. Why is he saying that? It's confirmation. When things happen three times, like it was God, he showed it, he proved it to me, right? He's trying to get, because they're mad at him. "Why did you do this repulsive thing? You man of God were sitting down and eating with these heathen freaks. What is your problem?" He's like, "Hey, God came down. He did this three times. And then he rebuked me. This happened three times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back to heaven." Man, visions are crazy. You see it in the Old Testament all the time. If you read a book by Rick Joyner, the guy got caught up in a crazy vision. I believe God saw some stuff. I had an experience one time that I just wouldn't share, but it was God. Had a young believer in New York just recently reach out to me. God woke up in the middle of the night with a vision and changed his life. God will show up that sometimes. If you seek him, God will show up in crazy ways. Right? He will. He said, that all happened just then, right after this three sheets. Oh, do this, kill and eat. No, yes, do it. Oh. Just then, right after that, there's a knock at his door. Just then, he's telling him, three men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Holy Spirit told me, I want to stop there for a second. The Holy Spirit told me. This phrase is powerful and should never be abused. But in the Christian church, it's one of the most abused sentences I've ever heard. The Holy Spirit told me, did he? Or is that what something you really want? Holy Spirit told me you're just trying to manipulate people. Holy Spirit told me that's just a good idea. You saw it on TikTok. The Holy Spirit told me because I claimed it out of the Word. So the Holy Spirit, stop being fake with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's real and does real things today, but we got to stop using that phrase if it's not the truth. Back up. Throw some sugar. Okay. The Holy Spirit told me. Listen, the Holy Spirit absolutely still speaks to people today. I would not be doing what I'm doing if he didn't, because it'd be pointless. We got to try and listen to him better, I think. Right? We've been warned by Jesus not to be fake. But we also have been warned by the Holy Spirit to be proven, to know those who labor among you. Just because I have the Holy Spirit because I can do this. If I don't know you, bro, I don't want to hear that. I don't know your character. I don't know you. I don't know if you know the Holy Spirit or not just because you shouted out something or you want to tell me something. You got to be known, be proven. People don't like that either. And then that's where we have this other people just shouting Holy Spirit things that aren't Holy Spirit things. And that's why the church is always fighting about the Holy Spirit. But when authentic Holy Spirit shows up, God happens and you can't argue with it. You go, well, I don't know. She was running around the church. She wasn't running, then she was running. I don't. You explain it. I don't know. Right? The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry. Whew. Man, I would love if he would just directly speak that to me more often. Hey, don't worry. Okay. Got it. Because I'm super. I think that's one of the gifts you've given me is worry. You know, no. No. Go with them and do not worry. Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry that they're Gentiles. I'll try not to, Lord, but you know how critical folks can be. Like, I'm going to go there. I can already hear it. You went where? With who? And then I love this. He says, these six brothers here went with me. Threw them right under the bus. Remember, Peter walks in the door from, woo, the Holy Spirit moved. And we just got to the Gentiles. And they walk in and go, Peter, what were you thinking? And he's like, God did this and this. And these six guys were with me too. Tell them. Yeah, these six guys. They could tell you, you know. They can confirm there was fruit. And we soon entered the home of the man who had sent for us. Here's my pause. If we obey God, lives are changed. This is simple. Bible school students, you're going to write this one down. Obey God and lives change. Misuse him and people are damaged. Obey God, and it's really God, and lives will change. Misuse God, and lives will always be damaged. That's got to be part of the takeaway, okay? So anyways, there's this guy, and he sent for us, Acts 11, 13 through 17. He told us how an angel had appeared to him, this guy did, in his home, and had told him, send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. God, could you send Simon Peter to that situation? Because some guys have proven trust. That's why he could send them. That's a tough job. To us, that seems that's a no joke. But pick the community that you'd least like to be sent to right now. Think of it in your head like, God, don't send me there. Everybody's like, I don't want to go to Africa. Please don't send me to. I don't want to go to this people group. And all of you are like, I don't want to think it because what if God challenges me? That's okay. That's superstitious. Don't worry about it. But picture that. Picture that one place. And God tells you to go there and minister there. Right? Whew. If he asks someone to do something that's really hard, he must love him and they must have proven he can take them to it. He can take them to it. Peter, he will tell you how and everyone in your household can be saved. He's going to tell you that. As soon as I began to speak, Peter continued, I was telling him, like, okay, I know the message. I know why I'm here. God sent you guys. It's Jesus. Not like God sent you to me because I got a sweet, sweet wooden buckles today. You know, God sent me because you don't even know my ministry is. Ow, I'm international. You never heard of Ethos Counseling? We are the bomb. No, that's not why he sent you. He sent you away because you're going to talk about Jesus to people who need Jesus. That was trustworthy, right? I began to speak, Peter continued, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Man, he fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning. Go, I thought we were special. Then I thought of the Lord's words at that moment, and he said, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God, say, since God. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I? Who was I? Who was I to say no to God? Who was I not to say that's fruit and you can be as mad as you want? You can be upset as you want to be, but who was I? Since God, who was I? Who was I to stand in God's way? Peter made a great point. Do I have a slide here? In my notes, I do. If you're doing or saying anything that stands in opposition to God's way, then stop it. Stop it. And you think of it like, what is that? Like right now, you go, that thing? I know what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit knows what I'm talking about. And if the Holy Spirit's talking to you about that, like, I want the gift of prophecy. How about the gift of listening to what he's saying and doing it? That's a great gift. That's a super good one. God said this, and then I said, I'm going to stop it. All right, I got to work on that. You know who else should stop is Josiah. He's all, you know, no, not Josiah. I'm talking to you. Talking to me. Stop it. Stop it. The gift is stop it. Acts 11:18. When the others heard this, they stopped. The others heard that they stopped objecting and began praising God. Knowing the whole story and its whole context can change your perspective. If they would have just waited to barbecue Peter, let him come in, give him a sandwich. He's been on the road. Let him take a shower, you know. Maybe he needs to catch up on SportsCenter and his fantasy hockey team. I don't know. Give him a minute. And then say, hey, I love you, and you're quite a man of God. I'm so proud of you going around the world. And that time you took a beating, I don't know if I could take that beating. But I do have a question. Like, why did you go and eat with the Gentiles? Can you tell me what led to that? That's way better than angry criticism. And if they would have just done that, you'd been able to tell them, and they wouldn't have felt like idiots. They wouldn't have had to stop anything. They could have just been praising. But they stopped objecting and began praising. They said, we can see that God has given the Gentiles the privilege of, say privilege, the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. Have you ever received that privilege? I received that privilege. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. If you haven't received that privilege, in a minute, I'm going to have opportunities for different little prayer groups. And one of those prayer groups, if you have never, like, no, I never asked him to forgive me for things I know I need forgiveness for, that his word tells me I shouldn't be doing, I should have stopped it, and I'd love to stop it, but it's eating my life and destroying me, and my soul is so weighted every day that I can barely breathe. I want to be forgiven. Man, you can stop that today. Jesus can stop that. He will take that on, and he will remove that from the east and the west, and your heart can be renewed, and it says you'll become a new creature. Old things can pass away. So there'll be an opportunity for that privilege. It's good to remember it's a privilege, because sometimes we forget. It's a privilege. Acts 11:19-21. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered, why are they scattered, Alejandro? Persecution. Right. Excellent. You're right. It's just like, it's my best Alejandro. Persecution. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered, his kids, his disciples, his people, his church, scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death. Scattered. Traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, Syria. They, the scattered, what did they do when they were scattered? I can't believe God. He just uprooted us like this and sent us over here. I'm like, what is this problem? Oh, wow, it's so terrible. The Romans are terrible. Romans are terrible. You're all going to hell. Nope, that's not what they did. When they were forced to scatter, forced out of their comfort zones of their homes and their lives, forced out, how did they respond? They preached. I don't know. Sometimes I'm prone to complain before I preach. Anybody else? I have to say, when I go on a missions trip and I hate my shower, I spend about 30 minutes telling everyone how much I hate my shower. Yeah. So I'm working on it. Only Jesus was perfect. Okay. The scattered, they preached the word of God, but only to the Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The door has been opened. They weren't scared. Why? Because Peter walked through it. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned. They believed and turned to the Lord. And guess what? That was, that is, and will always be the point of your life. Where if he scatters you in persecution, where you obey him into an uncomfortable situation, whatever it is, the whole point will be you preaching the gospel with your life. And if possible, use words, right? It was the believer's job, and they were doing their job. Even terrible, terrible situations. I'd have been angry. Like, where am I being scattered to? Don't scatter me to LA. I don't like it there. Scatter me to, like, Jackson Hole, you know? Scatter me to Banff. Scatter me to Greer, you know? Scatter me there. Woo! That's a good scattering, you know? I don't think, yeah, they didn't get like, hey, what'd you get for your scatter? Well, we got Cyprus. No, you know? Where's the Lord sending you? The point is, they didn't preach about how unfair or how fussy or how hard it was. They preached about Jesus. That's a good takeaway. Okay. All right. We're cruising right here. Acts 11:22-24. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. They sent a proven disciple with a great attitude. A proven guy with a great attitude. When he arrived and he saw the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and he encouraged the believers. Of course he did. That was his job. He was an encourager. He encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord because Barnabas was a good man. A good man full of the Holy Spirit. Ah, that's the key. That's the key, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. You know, no wonder the church sent him. Like, if you got to pick somebody, like, hey, there's a new church plant and there's religious folks and people that didn't have any religion and, like, we got a lot of different ethnic problems and then there's issues in this town. Who are we going to send? Hey, do. Barnabas is great. Why? He's always encouraging everybody. He'll tell you, you walk out of seeing Barnabas, he'll tell you, you smell good, you look good, you are good. And he'll tell you, like, how you encourage his life. Yeah, send Barnabas. And he's been with us a while, and he's seen some things, and he's been proven. Send Barnabas. If you can't strive for Jesus, strive for Barnabas. Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Spirit, strong in faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. Again, that's the point. And here's a little slide. I'm going to wait on the next scripture. The one I kind of... Believers should be taking their lives all over the place, even when it's hard, and use it to show and tell Jesus. Anybody say Walmart? Oh, there was a groan! I know you were my people, but he's telling us sometimes. He sends us there sometimes. When you want to go to Fry's, sometimes he says go to Walmart. Oh, scatter me to AJ Fine Foods. Scatter me to bashes. No, not there. Even when your life's hard, use it to show and tell Jesus, even if you're feeling scattered. So I am the church. Holy Spirit, fill me. Acts 11:25-26. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And both of them stayed there with the church for a full year. Wow, they're serious missionaries, Miley. Imagine that. I'm going to scatter you. Now, sometimes I think, well, you scatter me for how long? Like a month? 2 months? Scatter me. I'm all right. No, I'm going to take you for a whole year and scatter you right? Like, that's commitment, isn't it? Can God still say those things to us? He might not be, but I'm just asking if he can. Both of them stayed there with the church for a 4-year teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that believers were first called Christians. Bible trivia. Where were they first called Christians, Alejandro?
Antioch.
That's right. Acts 11:27. During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch, one of them named Agabus. He stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Holy Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. I love this next phrase because it really helps teach this. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. Say proven. When someone gives something prophetically, or someone speaks something in your life, they should have proven before that that's what God has said. They should have proven that they hear God when they say, the Holy Spirit told me. And then there should be some kind of proof after they share that God said that. Say proven. Proven. So the believers in Antioch decided to... the great famine was coming in the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send their relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea. Everyone giving as much as they could. Say beautiful. That is beautiful, man. This they did in trusting their gifts. They trusted their hard-earned gifts to Barnabas and Saul. Why? Because they're proven. To take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. So here's my thoughts this morning. Antioch seems to be a thriving church. I mean, this seems to be slamming. Here's the proof. They have the Holy Spirit. They have church unity. Everyone's giving and contributing. They support missions. They became a gospel hub for the Gentiles as well as the Jewish believers. And they had a voice in global church politics at the time of how to make decisions. Does anyone desire at this time to partake of some of the privileges of that? I don't know. I'm not trying to dim the lights and put on the fog machines and play the organ music. I have a song. We can play it. I don't know. It's probably my phone's in my bag, so never mind. It's probably where it is. It's probably in airplane mode. Wouldn't even be helpful. But picture. But maybe, honestly, you have never, ever taken advantage of the opportunity Jesus made. And I don't do altar calls every Sunday. Okay, she's going to play for me. But maybe you've never been forgiven. Like you've actually said to him, Lord, I need this. And I believe that you're the only one that can do this. You're in a room. If you've ever made that decision, raise your hand. Because if someone else hasn't, raise your hand if you're proud of it. Because if you're struggling, man, some of these hands around here can tell you how life has changed since they made that decision. Not how it's always got easier sometimes, but since their lives have made that change, talk to some of those hands that are up. You'll see God moving today, speaking today, doing things today. He doesn't love them more than he loves you. So if you've never asked him for that, there's going to be a spot. Pastor Jody yourself is going to pray. Maybe, here's the other prayer, folks. Maybe, this is going to be a tough one. You got to search your heart. Maybe you need the Holy Spirit to give you God's perspective on a really hard situation you're in, because all you can see is yours. And you need it, or you're going to die. Your heart and your soul can't handle one more minute of the perspective you have right now because it's suffocating you. And you need the Holy Spirit to give you a new perspective. Pastor Justin's going to pray for that. Whew. Here's one. Maybe you need prayer because you're prone to be critical. And you really need help. Like it's eating you away and it's robbing your joy and it blocks up your time with the Holy Spirit and it creates enmity and division in the people in your life And it's time that that gets over with. And I'll tell you right now, God can heal you and set you free from that critical spirit and give you His Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Here's my last category. Maybe some of us feel that you've been unjustly criticized or targeted, or you've been under attack, and it's just too much. You just can't take one more stone slung your way. You're trying your best to be the best Jesus, the best Barnabas you can pull out of your socks, but you're feeling so beat down. Dr. Heidi, would you come up and pray for that? So this morning, if that doesn't fit your category, you don't come up here for prayer, stretch your hands and be part of the prayer warriors this morning. I'm not going to take a long time, but these moments, I think, are as important as the sermon. These are the moments my heart was free when I was a young man. I had to give it all on the altar. These are the moments where I needed help. I needed the Holy Spirit like nobody's business. These are the moments that changed me. So I just want to make an opportunity this morning. So if you want to come up for prayer, please do. Thank you. Father, I thank you for a good church. It's such an honor to be at a church where people love you, they worship you, they participate, they're real. They're not judgmental. They're not critical. They're loving. They're fearless. They're courageous. Father, they are light that you can send into a darkness. It is an honor to be here back at New Season. Father, you'd send us out like Barnabas's and Saul's this week into our environments. And we'd support each other with prayer and words of encouragement, Father, and your Spirit would produce fruit in areas that we've been watering for a long time. Father, where we've been sowing our seed for a long time, where we've been pruning in our life for a long time, Father, where those moments where we pray you'd blow into those moments, Lord God, and produce fruit for your life. This would be a proven place where you can be found. A proven place, Father, where you can produce fruit. Be glorified in Apache Junction, Father, this morning. Be glorified in the families that are heading out. That people feel loved on, hugged on, and authentically cared for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.